We begin the current daf in Sechtes Gittin, daf Lamed Tes. We begin 6 lines down with Tam of the Amid. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is we had 2 different interpretations from Rabba and Rav Yosef regarding what was the halacha that Rav had said. And that is, one interpretation said that Rav said, Hamafker Avdo Yotz L'Cheres, if you declare your Eved ownerless, then he goes out free. And then another interpretation was that he said, Hamakdesh Avdo Yotz L'Cheres, that if you sanctify your Eved, you go out free. Now, the one who holds Hamakdesh for sure will hold Hamafker Yotz L'Cheres, but the one who says Hamafker Avdo Yotz L'Cheres would hold that, no, when you're Makdesh Eved, he doesn't go out free, but rather, it actually creates a Kedusha, like when you Makdesh anything, like an animal, then you say that the value goes to Hekdesh, but not that you're making the person, that Eved, into a free man. So that's why Gemara continues and says, let's say this machlik is Rabba and Rav Yosef regarding if someone is makdish his Eved, he says, you're hektish. Does he become kaddish? Is that sanctifying him like even a non-kosher animal where you makdish it, the dumim, the value is saying, I'm going to give that value to hektish, but you're not freeing him? Or, as Rabba had said, you didn't say it's for his value, so and you can't be makdish him, he's not going on the Mizbeach, neither is he being part of the building structure in the Beis Hamikdash. Must mean you're making him part of the Am Kaddish, and that means to say you're freeing him, that he could be a full-fledged Jew. So let's say it's a Machlikas Tanoim, because we have the following Braisa. The Braisa says, I'm Makdish Abdi. Someone is Makdish, he sanctifies, he says, you're Hekdish, regarding his slave. So the Tanakhama says, Ein Moilim Boy. There's no Halach of Me'ila, where though generally if someone is Makdish something, he says, this animal is Hekdish, then he has pleasure from it, it's misappropriating from the objects of Hekdesh, he's obligated the liability of Me'ila, which is paying the value and the fifth and whatever it comes along with. He argues and says, no, Moyalin, that you do commit Me'ila, and Bisa'irai, even in his here, which, as we'll see, that was specifically chosen, because actually that will be the crux of what the Machlekes is, and the Gemara is going to explain that, but initially the Gemara assumes, Ma'ilav b'ha kemiflegi, isn't this Machlekes Rabbi Nevi Yosef? When you're makdish your Eved, is it really becoming kaddish, in other words, in being makdish it, or no, you can't be makdish it, and therefore you're letting him go free, you're saying he's am kaddish, this is what they're arguing about. The marasavar kaddish, Reb Shimon Gamliel held that, yeah, you're makdish the Eved, he's like hektish, like anything that you say is going to be given to the bedek habayis, to the upkeep of the temple, and therefore, if you have pleasure from his hair, you're misappropriating from hektish. Umarasavar loy kaddish, and Tanakama held that, no, it's not, you weren't makdish it, you can't be makdish and eved, and therefore you're letting him go free, so it's no halachas of hektish, and you would not commit me'ila. Now the Gemara wonders, is it a tizbara? Is that logical to say that that's what they're arguing about? Hai moilin boy ve'ein moilin boy. So instead of using the terminology that they do argue about regarding if there's me'ila or not, hai kaddish ve'ein kaddish me'ila. Me'ila is post, meaning once something's hektish, then generally, and you could have a dispute about it, okay, so now would there be me'ila or not? But if you're saying their machlekes is between the machlekes Rabba and Rav Yosef, they should have taken a step earlier. Instead of arguing if there's me'ila or not, say, is it hektish or not? So Ella Rav, the Gemara says, that's not what they're arguing about. The Kuli Almi Kaddish, everyone agrees that when you're makdish and eved, you're makdish just like you were any animal, kosher, non-kosher, where you're being makdish, of course not the body of the slave, but the value of the slave, that when you're going to sell him, that value that you're going to have to give to Hekdesh. Now, but B'hacha B'hacha Kemiflegi, so what are they arguing about? So if he's Hekdesh, so why is there their opinion of the Tanakhama that there's no Me'ila? They're arguing about Demar Savar, Abdu Kimer Karkoi Domi. Tanakhama holds that a slave has the same halachic status as Karka. Now, the halachic, and that this is what's called a Shas Machlik, is regarding how do you define Eved. Is an Eved like Karka, or is it like Metaltlin? Is he, ultimately he's movable, but at the same time, there is responsibility to it, just like a piece of land where you know you can get it, so too regarding an Eved. So if like you hold like the Tanakhama, that a slave is comparative in Halacha to land, the Halacha is that there's no Me'ila by Karka, meaning even if someone's Makdish, his land, this land, I'm giving it to Hekdish. If someone misappropriates, he's not going to be liable for the Halacha as a Me'ila. Whereas the Gemara learns in Masechtas Me'ila Daf Yud Ches Mebeis and in Teres Kayinim, it says the word chet by Me'ila, sin, and it says the word chet by Truma. And we learn, just like by Truma, it's only something that's already detached from the ground, obviously, because it's only once you process the grain. So to Me'ila is only by something that's detached from the ground, where, in other words, land, which is obviously ground, attached to the ground, there's no me'ilah. That's why he held that, yes, even though the Ebed is Kaddish, but there's not going to be any me'ilah, because he's like karka. But Reb Shimon will held that, no, an Ebed is equated with something that's a movable item, which is what an Ebed is, and therefore, since he's Kaddish, so there will be me'ilah. So therefore, it's not the Machlekes Rabbi and Reb Yosef. We could say that everyone holds that it would be Kaddish, and the question is, would there be me'ilah? Now, so then the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's their Machlekes, so Ademifilgi Besairoi, so why does Reb Shimon Gamliel mention the here of the Eved instead of disputing the here? Lifilgi Begufoi, let him just argue regarding the whole body of the slave. They're disputing the slave itself. Is there me'ilah in a slave, because he's like Metalton, or is there no me'ilah because he's like Karka? So the Gemara therefore revises and says, no, El the Kuli Alma, rather, actually everyone holds that Avde Kimakarkoi Dami, that a slave, first of all, that when you're makdish Eved, he becomes Kaddish, meaning to say as if you were makdish him. Then moreover, everyone agrees that an Eved has the halachic status like Karka. No, so then what's the machlekes? If it's like Karka, then everyone should agree that there's no me'ilah. But v'hacha b'sairi ha'omid ligaz is kamifkin. That's what we mentioned before, that Shimon Gamliel specifically picks out that there would be me'ilah in the here, and not regarding the rest of the body. Because what they're disputing is regarding here, that's being ready to be cut. It's long enough that it generally would be cut at this point. Now, mar savar kagaz is dumb. Shimon Gamliel held here that's ready to be cut, it's as if it was cut already. Hence, we don't qualify it as something that's attached to the ground. Meaning, even if you say the Eved is like karka, his here is like something growing out of the karka. It's ready to be cut off. We already view it as if it's cut off. So therefore, we view it as metaltlin. That's why Reb Shimon Gamliel says that there would be me'ilah in only the here of the Eved. But there's only come held that no, we don't view it as if it's cut off. It's not. It's still attached to the Eved, which is like karka. Therefore, has the halacha like karka, and therefore there's no me'ilah. So that's their machlekes. Again, not the same machlekes as Rabbi Reb Yosef. Could be everyone agrees that it would be kaddish, and it would be like karka. Question is, regarding if it's oimid ligazes, do you say it's kigazes dami? So the Gemara says, le mahani tanoi, kandi tanoi. So let's say this machlekes of Reb Shimon Gamliel and Tanakam and this brisa is the same machlekes as the following machlekes tanoi. It's not, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos. Reb Meir, I mean, he says, yesh devarim shehim kakarka. There are certain things that are like land in one respect, meaning they're actually attached to the ground, which anything that's mechubal lekarka is kikarka dami, it's like land itself, but, says Ramea, ve'inan kikarka. But at the same time, they're not like land. And that is because this is regards to the halacha of inish boin al karkois, which means to say that if, let's say, somebody makes a claim that I deposited this amount by you, I lent you this amount, 100, and this guy says, no, it was only 50. That's what's known as meid b'miktis, when you admit to half of the claim. So that's halacha that you have to make a shvu. You have to swear an oath that you actually don't owe the other half that you're denying. Now, says Reb Meir, there are going to be cases where although you have these grapevines, which I said I'm going to give you a certain amount, you owe me like 10 grapevines. And the guy says, no, not true. Only 5 of them I owe you, not 10. So that says Reb Meir that although seemingly these are like karka, the mechubal karka, and therefore there should not be any shvua, let's say, of moed b'miktis, because we're not nishboin al-karkais. Here they're different, even though it's like karka, but it's not like karka, and therefore you would make a shvua of moed b'miktis. But says, the Mishnah of Enchacham Maidenle, the sages do not agree to this opinion of Reb Meir. Now, Kate said, what's the case that we're talking about? So let's say the claimant is telling the person that he's claiming by, he says, look, esek gefanim tu unis misatid lach, I gave you to watch my land, and I deposited by you 10 laden grapevines when I gave it to you. But the guy was watching it says, that's not true. When you gave me to watch your land, there were only 5 grapevines. So that's what's known as Maid Ben Miktis. Remeir Mechayiv, Remeir holds that he's liable to make a Shvua. The Chacham Aim, they say that no. Whatever's attached to the ground is like land itself, and therefore, just like we say, Inish Bain al Karkois, you don't swear for a halacha that requires generally oaths, let's say by Maidib Mixis, if it's related to land. And since it's attached to land, so you're not going to make a shvu on the other 5. Now, Ba'amr Bisa Bechanina, he said, so what does Remeir hold? What are they arguing about? So it's about Anavim Ha'imdisli Batzer Ikebenai. The difference between them is regarding grapes that are ready to be harvested, to be gathered already, to be picked off the grapevines. That's what they're disputing. where, of course, everyone agrees that if it's mechubal karka, it's like karka. But your mayor sava kibitzuris dam, your mayor held that since it's ready to be picked, we view it as if it's picked already. And if we see it already as metaltlin, and that's why you're going to swear regarding the other five grapevines. Rabban the Savior, lav kibitzuris dam, but the Rabban hold that no, we don't view it as if it's already picked, and therefore, we again, it's like karka, and therefore you're not going to swear regarding the other five. Now, says the Gemara, seemingly this is the same exact machlekes. Sar ho'im le'gazis, here that's ready to be cut, do we view it as if it's cut in metaltlin, or do we view it as still attached in karka? Same thing over here. We have the grapes ready to be picked. Do we view them as if they're picked and they're metatlin, if you would make a shuim with the mixes, or not? Do we view it as still attached, and therefore you'd be exempt because Einish Boin, alakakos? Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Afila teima, you could even say that this that we learned over here in the first brisa, that there would not be, according to the Tanna Kamma, any me'ila in the sar, in the here, even though it's ready to be cut, because the Tanna Kamma held that we don't say it's kagaz adami. You could even say that would be like remeir, where although in this Mishnah he says that if the grapes are ready to be picked, it's kibitzuris damian, says the Gemara, you could say that he would agree by the here that it would not be considered as if it's gaz adami, and it would not be considered as a metatlin to be chayv me'ila on. Why? Ad kan lekam remeir hasam ela ba'anavim, because where do we find remeir saying his principle that we view it as if it's already detached, because it's ready to be detached? Look at the case that he discusses over there. That's by grapes. What would be different between grape and here? The kaima, the kaimin, because the longer the grape stays on the vine, mikrish krishi, it actually gets worse. Aval hocha, I mean, because it's overripe, it's not going to be good leaving it on. Aval hocha, but over here, by here, kama de koi, the longer it stays on, ishabuchi mishabeyach, it actually gets better. Here is beautiful, long here, it's not making it worse. Therefore, maybe Remei would hold that actually it would not be kagaz adami because you still need it to be attached. And therefore, says the Gemara, it's not necessarily the same achleikis in that Mishnah and in the Braisa, because there could be a chiluk between here and grapes. Where grapes, maybe there he says it's kibbutzuris damin, but by here, maybe he would say it's lav kagaz adami. So that was discussing regarding the one who says hamakdish avdoi v'yatz lacheris, where again, that was the discussion if we do say that or do we not say that, where is he going free because he's lav kadosh, where the Gemara said it's not necessarily that that's what they're disputing. Could be everyone holds that if you makdish avdoi, he does not go free, and it's actually that he's like regular hektish, where it's like you're giving his value to hektish. Now, the other statement that we had mentioned was that of Rav Yosef in the name of Rav, where regarding Hamafker Avdei Yatz Lacheres. So that's where the Gemara returns to discuss that from the previous daf, the other statement in the name of Rav. Kisalik Rav Chir Bar Yosef, when Rav Chir Bar Yosef went up to Eretz Yisrael, Amar Lahai Shmaita de Rav, he said over that statement of Rav, that one of Rav Yosef, regarding if someone's Mafker Avdei, he says, you're Hefker. Where the halach is, although generally you have to be mashach or avid, he said, but if you declare him ownless and he has no owner, so he's yatz lecheres, he goes out free, he's a free man. He said over this halach, kamed Rabbi Yechonon. So Amaleis, Rabbi Yechonon responded, Amar Rav Hachi? Did Rav really say this? Now the Gemara wonders, for who? What do you mean? Rabbi Yechonon himself, loy Amar Hachi? He didn't say the same thing? What's he wondering? Did Rav say this? He himself said the same halacha. As the Gemara says, V'amar ula Amar Rabbi Yechonon, ula said the name of Rabbi Yechonon, Hamafker avdo yatz lecheres. If someone declares his evet ownerless, he says, I'm not your owner anymore, you're hefker, he goes out free, and b'tzarach gets shichur, but just you need to have, although he's free, he's a free man, no one owns him anymore, but he still needs a document of emancipation just regarding the prohibitory factors regarding allowing him to marry into a Jewish woman, because it's regarding Isser that he's not totally removed from being an evet. But regarding Mamanus, he's a free man. So why is he wondering if Rav said this, if he himself says this? So the Gemara says, what he was saying to Rav Chir Bar Yosef was, I'm a Rav Kavasi? He was wondering, really, Rav says like me? That's one version of the incident. Vikadamri, there are those that say that actually, no. Loi samu kame. They didn't conclude, when Rav Chir Bar Yosef was saying over this halacha in front of Rabbi Yechonon, they didn't conclude the whole statement of Rav. Rather, they said it, because there were two ways how it was said on the previous daf, they said it over the way Rav Yosef had said it, which Rav Yosef didn't say over the ending in the name of Rav that besides that he's a free man, but tzarach get shichur. They didn't say it the way it was said in the name of Chir Bar Oven, where he concluded in the name of Rav that, yes, he's a free man, but you need to have also a get shichur. Because the iser part, the prohibitory part, the halachic part, not just the monetary part, still needs a transition from the Eved state to the freeman state. So on that was Amalei, that's Rabbi Yechanan said. What, Rav really said this? Meaning, and Rav didn't say that, oh, yeah, he's a freeman, but didn't he also say that you need to have a get shechur? Whereas that's, according to the second version, that's what the Gemara explains, because Rabbi Yechanan Tamei, Rabbi Yechanan, according to his opinion, to Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Hamavker Avda Yatzlecheres. Yeah, in regards to that, he says, I understand what Rav's saying. I agree. If you declare an Eved onlus, he goes out free, but it's a get shechur. You also need to have a get shechur, and that's why he was wondering. That's all he said? He goes out free? Doesn't he also require get shechur? And that's because it wasn't said over to him that version that Rav had said also that, like Rabbi Yechanan, that Betzarach get shechur. Now Gufa, which we just mentioned before, Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yechanan, which again this was introduced because of that story that Rabbi Yechanan was wondering, did Rav say this? So the Gemara said, what do you mean? Rabbi Yechanan himself says, Hamafker Avda Yatzlecheres, if someone declares an Eved onlus, he goes out free, Betzarach get shechur, but additionally he needs to have a document of emancipation. That's what Ula said over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, which is similar to the what we had in the previous daf in the name of Rav. Now, Eishereb Abalu Ula, so Rav Abba asked to Ula, who was saying over this halacha, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, he asked on this halacha from the following brisa. The brisa says, Ger Shemes, a convert who dies. Now, very likely, he has no inheritors, because any Jewish person has. If you keep on going Jewish geography, someone back up, you'll see some relative, but a convert has no relatives because he's not related to the non-Jewish people, because when he converts, he's like a cut and Chanel dummy. And if he has no children, he has no relatives. So what ends up happening is that actually all his property becomes hefker. Whoever wants can take it because no one's inheriting it. Ubizbuzu Yisrael Nechasav. And so now the Jewish people, there are some Jews that they go and they take all his assets, all his properties. Now, v'hoyu b'hen avadim, and amongst his properties were slaves. Whether that they were adult slaves or minor slaves, says the Tanakhama, Kono Atzma B'nei Chayrin. The slaves themselves acquire their own selves. In other words, they come before anyone else. In other words, they're Hefker. So the Eved himself could say, okay, I'll acquire myself from Hefker. That's what Tanakhama holds. Abishalim, he says, no, depends. G'daylim Kono Atzma B'nei Chayrin. The adults, they're able to, they have das, they're able to do an acquisition, a kinyan. So yes, they could acquire themselves as free men. But ketanim, but says Abishol, regarding the minor slaves, they don't have any yad. They're not able to create kinyanim acquisitions. So kolamachzik ben zachaben, whoever acquires them first gets them. And the reason is because the ketanim themselves can't merit in themselves. So someone else, however, could go ahead and then take him and own him as a slave. Now, that's what it says in the Braisa. Asks Rebaba to Ulo, who wrote a get shechur to these slaves? In other words, whether according to Abishol only by Gedolim or by the Tanakhama, even by Ketanim, you're saying that they're free men. What does that mean, they're free men? How are they going to be permitted to marry a Jewish woman? Their owner died. So yes, when the owner dies, they become free, but what does that help them? They can't go ahead and marry a Jewish woman because you said that, oh, they go free, but you still need to have a get shechur. Who's going to write the get shechur? The owner is the only one that can write a document of emancipation, and he's already dead. So obviously, as Taisa explains, that what Rav Abba is trying to point out is that you don't need a get to permit the Eved to marry a regular Jewish woman. And that's like what? That's like Shmuel, who we had quoted that he said that whoever the master has no rights over him, let's say he made him hefker, he's not called an Eved anymore, and therefore he's like a regular free man, and even without a get shechur. Now, the reason of Abishol by minors is because he considers it that he's still Bishus of the Rav, of the master, since he doesn't have his own Yad. And that's why he holds that there would be the ability of the next person to go ahead and take him as a slave, and he can have a wife that is a Shifcha Kenanis. But the question that Rabbi was asking regarding the B'nai Chayrin that you said, according to Tanakhama, all slaves, according to Abishol, at least the adult slaves, what does it mean that they're becoming free as if they're regular Jews? They're not. According to you, they can't marry a Jewish woman. So Ula said to Rabbi, Dami Haimid Rabbanan, it appears to me that this rabbi, Kedulagami Inchi Shemaita, as if he never learned how to learn halacha. Now, the Gemara wonders, what time am I? What was Ula telling Rabbi? It seemed like he had a good question. So Amar Rav Nachman explains, Ksava Ula held, Avdei deger ki ishtai. the slave of a convert, which was the case that Bryce is discussing, is like his wife. In other words, this hefker, this making the slave ownerless because his master died, is not the same as when the master is alive and he makes his slave ownerless. Now, the reason for this is because we learn that the halachas of a slave from a woman, where it says the word la by a woman, meaning in regards to divorcing her, it says b'chasav la sefer. Moreover, by the removal of a slave, it also says eichuv shalei nitan la. Also says la regarding the chayfish, the freeing of a maidservant of a slave. So we compare a slave to a woman. So therefore, when the person's alive, the only way that you could have the woman go leave the man, how could a woman leave the man? There's two ways a woman leaves a man. Either when he dies, or when he's not dead, how could he remove her? With a get. So if the master is alive, yes, that's what Ula said. I said over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that if someone's mafker avdoi, he's yatzel cheres, but if he's still alive, just like the woman could only be removed with a document, with a get shechur, with a get, so too, the eved could only be with a get shechur. Now, what are you bringing me from this braisa, where that's a case of hefker la'achar misa? So therefore, he explains. He says, ma ishtei mishtalcha b'lei get, just like when a husband dies, then the woman could also be removed without a get, because he dies, she's free. Af avad of mishtalcha b'lei get, so too slaves. When he dies, that's a totally different type of a hefker. Yes, both of them, there's hefker. But one's through death and one's through divorce, which both of those principles apply both by a woman and both by a slave. So don't confuse the two. The braisa here that says that they're going to be totally free without a get shechur is because he's dead. That's the same thing by a woman, which we learned la from Isha. When he dies, she also can marry whoever she wants to without a get. But when he's alive, then just like the woman needs a get shechur, so to the eved, needs a get, so too a get creases, so too an eved would need a get shechur, and therefore that doesn't contradict Allah. I'm saying over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Now the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the interpretation that you just explained it and you divided it, then Afil Yisrael, why do you say the case of the Braisa specifically by a ger, even by a regular full-fledged Jew when he dies, Nami, that is his sons should not merit in his slaves? Because you're saying you compare an eved to a woman. When a man dies, his wife goes free. So too, when a regular Jewish man, when he dies, his slave goes free. Why are you saying that? And that's not the case. We know that slaves are inherited by sons, and moreover, that we see the Bryce is only discussing it by Ger Shemes. Why? It should be even by Yisrael Shemes. So now the answer is no. Amakra, the pasuk says in the Yikra, it says clearly regarding slaves that you should bequeath them to your sons after you, to inherit it as a holding. So you see the pasuk says clearly that an eved does not go free when the master dies. Rather, it's bequeathed to his children. Now, so then the Gemara asks, so fine, but whereas regarding a ger, then we could make the comparison of lola me'isha. But by Yisrael, we see clearly that there the Yerusha says that Yerusha overrides this halacha of lola me'isha. But the Gemara asks, but what's with the following case? If that's the case, hamafkir avdei v'meis nami. Then if someone declares his slave ownerless, and then he dies, then the halacha should also be that he goes free. And moreover, not only that he goes free, but since he died, he doesn't need to get shechur, the way you're comparing it to a woman. Then the question is, Allah ma'amar meimer, then why did Amemer say the following halacha? He said, hamafkir avdei. Someone declares his eved, his slave, ownerless, where again, then there's no more Yerusha to his sons, because monetarily he doesn't own them anymore. But umeis, and then the master dies, then, seemingly, he should not, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that's what's being asked on Ula, should not require get shechur to remove the prohibitory aspect, because he died. And you said when he dies, the eved goes free. And moreover, the sons are not inheriting it, because he already made it hefker before he died. But yet Amemer says, Oiseya Evid ain't loy takana, that Evid is stuck. He has no rectification. Whereas the Gemara will explain later on in the next daf, Memmer Aleph, that is, because once he made him hefker, he made him ownerless, so he doesn't have any monetary ownership in that slave. But the prohibitory aspect of the status of a slave, the master still has the rights in it. Now the problem is once he dies, He can't bequeath it to his sons because he doesn't have monetary, and only but could bequeath is monetary things. And so then the problem is he has no one to permit him now to marry a Jewish woman with a get. So he can't have a Shivcha Kananis because he's free, but neither could he marry Bas Yisrael because he doesn't have the get Shichur, so he is stuck. Ein le'takana. That the Gemara asked, why? According to your interpretation of Yichanan, why is it that Ein le'takana? What do you mean? If he dies, even if he was mafke, then he dies, doesn't make a difference. He dies, the Evet should be able to go ahead and marry Bas Yisrael the way you described it. The Gemara says, Dam Emer Kash. Yes, it's very difficult. This halacha of Amemer, again, the way the interpretation was from Rabbi Yechanan, because that is, if a master dies, then he should be free, even regarding the prohibitory aspect, because we learn that Lola Meisha, that once he dies, if unless you have Yerusha overriding that, then he goes free, and totally free, just like a woman, even regarding Isser. So you're right, the Gemara says that's, that halacha of Amemer is definitely difficult. Now the Gemara says, Amr B'Yakab Eidi, Amr B'Shuban Levi. Halacha Kabashal, we introduced this brice that was brought up because as actually to ask a question on this halacha of Ula Nimr B'Yechna. Now that the Gemara introduced it, the Gemara says halacha is like Abashal, that when a ger dies, so the adult slaves could acquire themselves, but the minor slaves, actually Kala Kaidim Zacha, whoever comes first, could merit it because they don't have the yad themselves. They're minors, they can't create acquisitions, and therefore someone else could come and take them as an evet. Now, Amli Reb Zeir or Reb Yaakov Bar Idi. So Reb Zeir said to Reb Yaakov Bar Idi, who had said this over the name of Reb Shub ben Levi, he asked him, as we continue in Talmud Beis, Beferish Me'alach, did you hear this explicitly from Reb Shub ben Levi, that he says that Allah is like Abishol? Oy Mechlalash Me'alach. Or, did you infer this from a general halachic statement that he said, that you said, oh, must be that Reb Shub ben Levi holds that Allah is like Abishol? Now, the question was, my Klala. So he asked him, he says, what general statement would it be that Reb Shub ben Levi had said that I could have learned it out, that you're asking me, is it that general statement that I'm inferring from, or did I hear it explicitly? So he says, because the Amr Reb Shub ben Levi said the following statement, and from this maybe you would infer, and that's what he was asking, is this where you inferred it from? Because Reb Shub ben Levi said that Amr Lefnei Rebbe, there were those who said in front of Rebbe, let's say the following case, Amr Nisayashti Mipuleni Avdi, let's say a master says, I've given up hope from this slave, this fellow slave of mine, which Yiyush is the terminology of Hefker, where he's making it ownless. I'm Yayish, I give up, I'm not the owner anymore of this slave. So they asked Rabbi Mahu, what's the halachic status of this slave? So Amalehem, he said to them, Oymer ani, I say, Ein le'takana. He has no rectification, and that is, he can't marry neither a Bas Yisrael, a Jewish woman, and neither a Shifcha, a maidservant. The reason being is because he's in this quasi type of shikr of being freed, but it's not totally, it's not complete, Ela Bishtar. Only if you have a document, when he finally gives a get shikr, then that'll be complete, then he can marry Bas Yisrael. But just freeing him, it's somewhere in the middle. Monetarily he doesn't own him, but prohibitory he does own him still. So he's stuck in this quasi-state, and therefore he can't marry either one of them. Now, V'am Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan had said, my time in the Rebbe, what's the reason of Rebbe? Gomer la la me'isha. He learns out, it says la by Evet, and it says la to her by Isha. So we make the following hekesh. Ma'isha, just like by a woman, that if the husband would make her ownerless, he wouldn't be permitting her to marry someone else by doing that. He has to give a get. The Torah says, "Chasul Sebe Kris." He said, "I don't know you. I'm not your husband anymore." What does that mean? It doesn't work. You need bishtar. You need a document. Af eved nami bishtar. So Rabbi Yechanan says that's where Rabbi was coming from. Where, yeah, although you don't own him anymore, and there obviously is a monetary aspect by a slave, but that doesn't make him into a free man to be able to marry a Jewish woman. That's where Rabbi was coming from. And this is the halacha that Rabbi Shub ben Levi was saying over the name of Rabbi. So therefore, he said to him, maybe the kodayik is mina. Maybe you would want to infer from that halacha of Reb Shub ben Levi, and that is who's saying over in the name of Rebbe, that since Rebbe learns out an Eved from Isha, so must be that Rebbe was only discussing a case when they had asked him, what's the halacha of someone's mafker in Eved? Must be he was discussing a case of when he's mafker an adult slave, where an adult slave has the ability to acquire himself. Now, so therefore, from the moment that you're mafke the Evet, the only thing that the master has on him is prohibitory law, not monetary law. Because again, the adult slave could acquire himself. Why? Because we see that he was comparing it ka'isha, like a woman. Now, what's the equivalent of a slave to a woman? Ma'isha isura v'loy ma'mayna, just like by a woman. What does a husband have in his wife? He has prohibitory law, not monetary law. He doesn't own the body of his wife for sure not on a biblical level. So essentially, what is the get work to do by a woman? It's not coming to remove any monetary aspect he has in her, just prohibitory law, where it's regarding the halachas of ishus, of marriage. Af eved, so therefore when you're comparing an eved to a woman, must be the same qualification of nami isur v'loy mamayna, where it's only the get is going to be accomplishing the prohibitory aspect, meaning at least that's what he's comparing it to, and not the monetary aspect. But a minor slave, that must be Rebbe was not discussing, because that wouldn't be a fit into the gzeirah shavah of law to compare it to a woman, because there, this monetary law that gets mixed into the whole mix. And regarding him, actually Rebbe would hold, if you mafker an eved katan, that he would have a takana. How? Who could he marry? Weren't you mafker him? Don't you not own him monetarily, but you do own him prohibitory? No, he actually would be permitted to marry a shifcha maidservant. And the reason being is because even though you mafker him, he wasn't cutting himself. That is like Abishol, because Abishol said, if you mafker an eved that's minor, big deal. Which is the equivalent of a case when the gerish mace, where he becomes hefker, he can't acquire himself. So it's like you didn't do anything, and therefore there is a takana in that case. That's what you would infer from Rebbe, who's comparing the eved to the woman, which just like the woman, the accomplishment of the get is only an isser, not a mammon. So to the eved would only be an isser, not a mammon, which is only by an adult slave, because he at least already took away the mammon to himself, because he could be kindness atzmoi, but by an eved katan who doesn't have that, because there is a monetary aspect, there, actually, he would have a takana, because Rebbe's going like, Abishal. So if Rebbe Shuman Levi's quoting this as halacha, must be he holds like Abishal. And maybe that's where you were inferring that Rebbe Shuman Leil holds like Abishal. So Amalei said to him that if let's say that would, that so he asked him, V'imach lala, okay, fine. So let's say I did infer this from that halacha. My. So what would be bothering you that you had to ask me, did you hear this specifically or did you infer this? Wouldn't that be a correct inference anyway? What would be the difference? So Amalei, he said to him, no. If you would want to infer it from that halacha of Shuman Levi, then actually it would not be an appropriate inference that Shuman Levi necessarily holds like Abishal. Why? Because Adarabba, I can tell you the other way around. Duk mina lidach gisa, you can infer to the other direction. Because I could tell you a different comparativeness between Eved and Isha, not the way you were learning it. I could tell you, Ma Isha ben gedola ben ketana, you had said in a way of, oh, just like by woman, it's only Isra not Mammon, so to Eved, it's only Isra not Mammon, which says only by Eved God, not by Eved God. No, I can qualify it in a different way. I could tell you, just like by a woman, ben gedola ben ketana, when you're permitting her with a get, it's whether it's an adult woman or a minor woman, a father can marry with his minor daughter as a wife, and she could be divorced with a get, afeved nami. So I can tell you the same thing is by a slave, when you're mafker and eved, which is the case that Rebbe is discussing, that he's comparing to the woman, would also be ben gadol ben katan. It would also be talking about whether an adult slave or a minor slave, which would be the same as a woman in that regard, which is just a get worked for an adult and a minor woman. So too would work this get shicher for the adult slave and the minor slave, and that's what Rebbe would be discussing, that ain't like takana, and therefore that could be just as well like the Tanakama, and not like Abishal. So Amalei said to him, okay, good point. It wouldn't be a specific and a direct inference, because you could say the other way. And he says, Befirish Meili, actually, I heard this explicitly. I heard Rebbe Shimon Levi say that Loch is like Abishal. So that's one version. Now, there's actually a discussion the other way around. You have Rebbe Chiya bar Abba Amr Rebbe Yechanan. The first one was someone saying over the name of Rebbe Shimon Levi. This one saying over the name of Rebbe Yechanan. And here he's saying the halacha is the other way around. That ain't halacha kabashal. Halacha is not like kabashal. So Amalei Reb Zeir Reb Chiya bar Abba. So here in this version, Reb Zeir said Reb Chiya bar Abba, Beferish Melech? Did you hear explicitly that Reb Yechanan said halacha is not like kabashal? I'm a chlalash melech. Or did you hear this from a general statement that you're inferring that he holds like that? So the question he asked in my chlala, what would be the general statement? So it's that same discussion that we brought before. Because the Amr, Rebbe Shuman Levi said that Amr Lefnei Rebbe, they said in front of the Rebbe, Nishayashtim Eplein the Avdi Mahu. What's the halach if someone says, I'm Afker, I give up from this Evet? What is his halachic status? Amr Lehem, so Rebbe said to them, Oymani, I say, Enli Takana El Bishtar. So there's nothing, he's stuck. He's like this quasi type of an Evet. He's half freed, half not. Monetarily, he is prohibitory, he's not. So the only way out would be if he then gets a get shikr, then he'd be able to marry a Bas Yisrael. Up until then, he can't marry anyone. Now, so the focus in the previous discussion was in what Rabbi Shimon Levi was saying. Now, part of that discussion, which we had brought up previously, which is going to be important for this version, is Va'amr Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said an explanation, and that's regarding this Rabbi Yechanan that we're saying over, that he holds halacha is not like Abba Shaul. He says, my time of the Rabbi, what's the reason of Rabbi that he's learning this? Where does he get this from? That ain't like Takana Ela Bishtar. Because Gamalala Me'isha, because he compares the halacha of Eved, where it says La, to the halacha of Isha, which also says La. And that is Ma'isha Bishtar, just like a woman, she cannot be free to marry another man unless she gets this document of the Ged, Af Eved Nami Bishtar, so to a slave. Even if you declare him ownerless, he can only go ahead and marry Bas Yisrael, be totally freed until he gets a document. Now, that was what was discussed. Now, V'kodaykis Mina Ki'isha. Now, maybe the reason why you're saying over this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, you would be inferring from here that, yeah, when do we compare a slave to a woman is like a woman, which is Ma'isha Bingadoyla Bingitana, just like by a woman is whether if she's adult or a minor, Af Evanami Bingodla Bing Cotton, so too, seemingly, Rabbi compares a slave to whether he's adult or he's a minor, and that is that he's in this quasi state that Ainle Takana, because he's not permitted in the Shifcha. Why not? Because he actually has acquired himself already monetarily, but he's not permitted in the Bas Yisrael because prohibitorily he has not yet acquired himself. Now that sounds like the Tana Kama, not like Abba Shaul, because according to Abba Shaul, there would be a Takana by a Katan, because a Katan has not acquired himself even monetarily, he's still permitted in the Shifcha. So maybe that's why you're inferring from Rabbi Yechanan that since he's quoting and explaining the Salach of Rebbe, which is not like Abba Shaul, that's why, because we're comparing Eved to Anisha in regards to both adult and minor, so too, that's why you said over this halacha name of Rabbi Yechanan. So he said to him, V'imechlolamai, and yes, if let's say that was the inference, what's the problem with that? So he says, because the other Eved, to the contrary, duk mino lahachki, so I can infer the other way, which again was the first version of the previous discussion, that is, ma'isha isur v'le memayna, maybe I would tell you the comparativeness is the other way. Just like a woman, what's the get accomplishing is only in Isur, not in Mammon. Af Eved Nami Isur V'lei Memayna. So to an Eved, maybe the only thing it's accomplishing is Isur, not Mammon. What would that mean? That would mean only, what does that compare to? That would mean only an adult where, yes, the only thing you have is Isur, not Mammon, in contrast to the case of a Katan who doesn't have, who it's not only Isur, it's actually also monetary that's going to be a factor over here, which that would be like Abba Shaul, and therefore who said that Rabbi Yechanan, who's quoting the halacha of Rebbe, is going not like Abba Shaul, maybe it would be like Abba Shaul. So Amalei, they said to him, you're right, Beferish Meili, don't worry, I heard this explicitly. Rabbi Yechanan said clearly that the halacha is not like Abba Shaul. So again, that we have these clear statements, Rabbi Shimon Levi saying the halacha is like Abba Shaul, and Rabbi Yechanan saying the halacha is not like Abba Shaul. So the Gemara quotes this, Amamar. We mentioned before, Rabbi Shimon Levi said, that Amalehem, that Rebbe said to them, Oymar ani, I say that regarding this person that was mafker is Eved, ein le takana, ele b'shtar. So there's really no hope for this guy to marry any woman unless if he finally gets a shtar like a woman, which we said that the only way she's able to marry someone else to be totally freed is with a get of krisis. Now, the Gemara wonders, because now it sounds like that in Eved, the only way he's totally freed is going to be with a get, and that is even if, let's say, he's redeemed, someone pays him out from the master with pidyon, that's not going to be enough. The only way you could totally free him is with a get shechar. On that, the Gemara asks, but Vatanya Lidna Braisa, we have a different statement of Rebbe that seems to contradict this statement. We quoted previously in the Gemara, and this was on the previous staff, Rebbe Aimer, he says, Aimer Ani, says, I say, and this was in regard to the case of when someone is makdish is eved, the guy was makdash all his properties, and amongst them were slaves. So Rebbe said that I say that afhu neisen demei atzma v'yotze. He argued with the other opinion over there, and he says that I hold that an eved could redeem himself from hekdash. He pays his money. Now, although that it's not that it's hekdash, the gabbai of hekdash cannot really free him, but nemneishu kamaychulai, just like the gabbai of Hektish has the rights to sell the Eved and all the assets that this guy was makdish to Hektish, so he could sell the slave to himself, and therefore says Rebbe that I consider it just like a classic pidyon where someone else is redeeming the slave from the master, so too the Eved could do it to himself. Now, on that the question is, it sounds like from this halach of Rebbe that he could free himself The Gabbai, no one's writing him a get shechur in this case, because the master was already makdish to hekdish, and hekdish is not writing a get shechur. He's just telling him, and he's telling him to himself, and that sounds like that he's free to do whatever he wants. The regular Ben Yisrael now. Now, but you just quoted before that made it sound like that. No, the only way is with a shtar. So the Gemara says no. Hachikama. Truth is, Rebbe holds, as we see from these two different statements, oy bekesef, oy bishtar, that direct vacation of a slave from being to be a totally free man is either with money, as he says in that price that we quoted from the previous daf, or as we said, just as we quoted now over here, with a document. Now the reason for that is because actually the pasuk equates monetary redemption money with a document, as the pasuk says regarding the case of a slave woman that was redeemed and not redeemed. So it uses the terms of heftele niftasa echufsha, where it compares heftele niftasa is regarding pidyon, which is money, and chufsha is chayfesh with a get shechur. So you see the pasuk equates the two. So yes, both of those are good enough. Now, however, v'hai, the case that we're discussing over here, when the master was mafker him, pokale kaspe. So already the money factor is already null, because the only way, yes, that he can be removed in this situation is only with a shtar, because what are you going to do? Generally, you could buy him out, but there's nothing to buy because he's already mafkim. He doesn't own him monetarily. That's why he says that the only tikkun he has is with a shtar. But you're right. If he still has monetary ownership, then by paying him, it actually accomplishes both the monetary and the prohibitory. It's just that when there's no monetary, you can't pay money to do both because there's no money there. That's why he said that it could only be done with a get shechur. Now, the Gemara explains that this, that Rebbe, and we quoted this in the way we're interpreting Rebbe from the Brice in the previous daf, that he holds that an Eved is permitted, totally free, to marry Bas Yisrael with money itself, and he doesn't need a get shechur, is lafuki mahay tana. That's not like the following tana. The tana, like we learned the Brice. Reb Shimon Eimim Mishum Reb Akiva. Reb Shimon says the name of Reb Akiva. Yochel yehei kesev goyim eba. You would think that money would conclude the redemption, the freeing of a slave. In other words, even to remove him from prohibitory law, which is exactly as we just said from Rebbe. You would think it would work. Kederech sheshtar goyim eba, just like a document concludes the freeing, so too would money. Tamalayma, so that's what Rebbe Shimon says. If you look at the halacha regarding a maidservant, which is nechrefes le'ish, which is a certain type of a case, a unique case in halacha, that the pasuk talks about, which there's a discussion exactly how to conceptualize that halacha. But the pasuk says as follows. It says, v'heftoi loy nivdasa, says that this maidservant was redeemed, but not redeemed, meaning she was not a totally freed woman, but she was a maidservant. Now, ayro kala parsha kulis, it says, if you look at that whole parsha, it then concludes, and it says, l'loy chufsha, without being freed, which connotes with a shtar shechur. So Reb Shimon infers, he says, from the fact that the end of the parsha doesn't mention that it talks about someone that's going to have intimate relations with this maidservant, a regular Jew. Now the pasuk says lo yumsu, they're not going to die. Well, although generally if a woman is married to another man, the one who has relations with her dies. Now this is a unique halacha where the man doesn't die. Now, it doesn't say why. It doesn't say kiloy nivdasa uchufsha. It doesn't say because she wasn't redeemed or freed, which either one are seemingly viable options to say that she could be freed. In other words, because if she was totally freed, of course then you would die. Because then she'd be married to a man as a Bas Yisrael, and then she's an Esh Yisrael. But here, since she's not totally freed, she's still a maidservant, so then a maidservant, that is not the halacha of Eishes Ish. But it doesn't say kilei niftasa uchufsha, it only uses the term kilei chufsha, because she's not freed. So it says, Reb Shimon Lemelcha, you know what that comes to tell you? Shtar goymerba. Only thing that concludes the total freeing, you're right, pidyon works monetarily. But the only thing that totally removes both from the shibud, from the servitude, and from the iser of being considered an eved or a shivcha is only with a document, v'ein ha-kesem g'rimba. But money doesn't conclude the process of shichur totally, because it only removes it from the monetary aspect of the shibud, of this enslavement, but it doesn't remove from the iser of shivcha. In other words, she, even if she'd go ahead and get married to someone now, kedushin would not be taifis, just like you cannot have kedushin in a shifcha and a maidservant. It would still be considered like she's a shifcha, and someone that would have relations with that, quote, married woman would not be chayiv misa, because she's not totally free until there's, as the pasuk concludes, only with the term loy chupsha. The only thing that could free her is with the shtar shechar. Now, what we see from the pasuk, what Reb Shimon is saying, is that when she is redeemed, the halacha will still be lo yumsu, meaning even when the money was totally paid and the owner doesn't own her anymore. The reason being is because you only have kedushin to have the halacha of eishes ish when this kedushin being typhus in the woman. Now, here, however, is what Reb Shimon saying, that since there was no get shikhar written to her, so he's saying, you know what the pasuk is saying? The pasuk is saying as follows. It says, v'heftu lo nevdasa, meaning to say that this woman was a maidservant, but someone already paid up half the amount that the owner has shares in this maidservant. So she's what's called a paduya ve'ena paduya. She's redeemed, but not redeemed, which is, she's a half maidservant. For example, that she's part, in other words, she was a full-fledged non-Jewish maidservant, but now she's half maidservant, half free woman, which is necherefes le'ish. And she's married to a man. Now, what type of man can marry a half a slave woman? That's an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is a unique position where he's a Jewish person that's a slave to Jewish people. There's a unique halacha, it's brought in Parshas Mishpatim, that he could marry a slave woman, and he's also allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman. So, since he's permitted in both, he's married to her. So, though she's a married woman to this Eved Ivri, but since she's not a full-fledged Jewish woman, the pasuk says that if someone cohabits with her, he's not going to have Misa, he's just going to have to bring a Karban Asha. Now, the understanding is because, why does it say Hefte Loi Niftasa, that she's half redeemed, half not? Because, and this is how Reb Shimon's learning up the Pasuk over there, is because if she wasn't redeemed at all, she would be a regular maidservant, then you wouldn't even bring a Karban Asha. That's why he mentions that she's partly redeemed. As Rashi explains a little bit more, he says, and because there's a different way that you would think to interpret the Pasuk. It's not because that if she was totally redeemed, because it makes it sound like, oh, only partly redeemed. If she was totally redeemed, oh, then the kedushin of the Eved Ivri would be a total kedushin, and then if someone would cohabit with her would get death. That is what Reb Shimon is coming to say over the name of Akiva, that no, because if you look at the end of the pasuk, it says, lo yumsu, the man and this woman that have relations are not going to die, ki loy chofshur, because she wasn't freed, which sounds like that the element of death will depend only if the woman was freed with a document, even if she was totally redeemed already. But if there was no document, there's not going to be any death. And again, so why does it say hefte loy niftasa? Why does it say then that she's not totally redeemed? Say even if she's totally redeemed, you're not going to be chayiv misa. That's a chiddush the other way, to say that even if she's not totally redeemed, but only halfway redeemed, that there's still going to be a karban asha. Because when she's not redeemed at all, then there's not even a karban asha. So there's really three categories, according to what Reb Shimon's saying. A regular maidservant that's married to the Eved Ivri, someone, a Jewish man cohabits with her, not chayiv anything. She's halfway redeemed, but there's no shtar shechar. That's the unique halacha of the pasuk, which then is going to be chayiv a karban asha. And that would even apply even if she's totally redeemed, but there was no get shechar. Then she gets a get shechar, and then she's married to a Jewish man, then there would be chayiv misa for a man that cohabits with her. So, but one thing that we see from this halacha of Reb Shimon is that he disagrees with the halacha that we said over in the name of Rebbe. We said over in the name of Rebbe that it's not just shtar shechar that's going above, but that even regarding Isser, Kesev is going to work. We see obviously from this halacha of Reb Shimon that he disagrees, and he says that no. That's how he learns up this parsha of the Isha Nechrefes Le'ish, that it's only going to be that shtar going above, not Kesev going above. So the Gemara concludes, Amar Rami Bacham, Amar Ab Nachman. He says, halacha is Reb Shimon. Yeah, halacha is like Reb Shimon that we just quoted, that kesef is not gomer ba. The only way to fully allow an eved to go free, to marry a Jewish woman regarding Isser, is with a shtar shechar. Whereas Reb Yosef Bacham, Amar Reb Yechanan, he says that in halacha Reb Shimon, halacha does not follow like Reb Shimon, even kesef is gomer ba. Now, Ashkechei Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, L'Rav Bar Sheilta. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak encountered Rav Bar Sheilta, da b'koya pischa de beit tefila. He was by the opening of the beis ha-tefila, meaning of the place where they daven, meaning to the entryway of the shul, of the beis ha-knesses. So Amalei, he said to him, halacha o in halacha? Is halacha like Reb Shimon, or the halacha is not like Reb Shimon? Amalei, so he said to him, look, ani oimer ein halacha. I say halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, that you could totally free a slave even with money, not just with shtar shechar. But Rabbanan de asu min mechuzah, but the rabbis who came from mechuzah, they argued to me, and they were amri. They said that amr b'zeir mishmeid Rav Nachman, that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that the only way he can go free is with a shtar and not with money. Now, but he says v'chi asoi, but he says when I came l'surah, then ashkachase l'Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, I encountered Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, and amrili, and I said to him, look, emili, tell me, izi gufa de uvda, exactly this incident that the people are saying over in the name of Rav Nachman, that they're saying that he holds halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, hechahava, what was the story? What was this? What was going on in court that time that people said, oh, see, Rav Nachman holds halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So amrili, he said to me, this is what happened. Tahi amsa, there was a certain maidservant, her master was on his deathbed. Now, Asya Bachi Kameh, now this maidservant came crying in front of him. Amrle, she said to him, Ad emas tishtabid v'tezal hi'itza. How much longer does this woman have to be enslaved and in servitude? Meaning she was talking about herself and said, I'm such a good maidservant. I served you all these years. Now, you're going to die. There's halacha that I'm going to be given over as inheritance for the rest of my life. I'm going to be a slave woman, then to your children, then to your grandchildren. How much longer am I going to be a slave woman? So Shokol Kumse, so this dying man took his hat, Shadaba, he threw it to her, and Amala, he said to her, look, Zil Kani Ha, V'Kani Nafshach, acquire this hat, and through your acquisition of this hat, the transfer that I'm giving this hat to you, acquire yourself, and you can go ahead and be a free woman. That was the story. Asul Kamei Rav Nachman, they came from the Rav Nachman, Amala Hu, so he said to them, Lo'asav Lo'klum, this guy has done nothing. He did not free her. She's still a slave woman. Now, so the Gemara explains. Man the chaz savar misham nalacha k'rib Shimon. The one who saw this thought the reason why Rav Nachman was saying this was because he held like k'rib Shimon, that they thought that this was a valid halacha of what's called chalipin, which is what's called one of the ways of doing chalipin, which means to transfer, is through what's called a kinyan sudr, which means to say that one party gives the other one like a kerchief, something just of a token type of a transfer. And through that, it works just like giving over money. Whereas the Pasuk says in Rus, Sholef Ish Nole, the man took off his shoe, transferring one to the other one is saying that I'm acquiring by giving over this object. Now, they thought when Rav Nachman said, V'loy Omar Klum, this guy has said nothing, he hasn't done anything. What do you mean he hasn't done anything? He hasn't done anything to permit the slave woman to marry a Jewish man. Like Rib Shimon, where Rib Shimon said that even if you free her, it doesn't help until you give a get shichur. But they thought that, of course, the woman's a free woman. She's not enslaved anymore, but he hasn't really helped her because she can't marry a Jewish man. And that is what he's saying, that no, v'lohi, that's not the case. They were mistaken in their interpretation of Rav Nachman's halacha. This is Rav Nachman that I was told over there. Rav Nachman said halacha is like Rib Shimon. He says, no, that was incorrect. Rav Nachman actually holds halachas not like Rav Shimon, like I thought all along. And actually, when Rav Nachman said loy maklum, he said he didn't do anything, and that she's not even freed. She's still enslaved, because the reason why he said he hasn't done anything is el meshum dehavalei kelov shel makna. The reason why the kinyan didn't work even regarding mammon is because the Gemara brings in Bab Metzi Mem Zayin Mabez that halacha is like Rav. That when you do this chalipin, it has to be from the utensil, the kerchief of the kind of the one who's coming to acquire. Here, it was the caliph shel makna, the one who is trying to give over the acquisition, to give it to the other person, to bequeath it, was the dying man. He gave his hat. That doesn't work. The kinya chalipin has to work with the caliph, with the utensils of the kindness she would have had to have given. That it would have to been her kerchief, her hat. So therefore, that couldn't work through chalipin. Moreover, as Rashi explains, it couldn't work either through halacha of dibri shchimera, where a dying person can say whatever he wants, and it works, as if it was done with a kinyan. Because the reason is because he didn't tell this to his sons, that she should acquire herself through what's called the gifting of a shchimera. You see specifically that he wanted it to work through this kinyan chalipin that he was doing, but he was mistaken. And that's why Rav Nachman said that it wasn't klum, but not because he holds like Rav Shimon, that hasn't done anything regards to Isser. Actually, he hasn't done anything even regarding mammon either, because it was a mistake in the halacha of kinyan chalipin. Now, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Chisai, Amar Rav Amnuna Saba, Amar Rav Yitzchok bar Shien, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Amnuna. He says halacha is k'rib Shimon, that again, it only works with shtar and not with mammon. But the Gemara concludes, "Vallahi, that's not the case. Ein halacha k'Rav Shimon. Halacha is not like Rav Shimon, and that even pidyon would help if someone redeems even monetarily a slave from the master. It totally helps both for mammon and for iser, and that slave is then permitted to marry a full-fledged Jewish person."